God, it's good to come together in the middle of the week and open up your word and be encouraged, Lord, and be strengthened to get through the rest of the week. And God, I pray that you would speak to us as we look at some real significant portions here in Daniel. And God, as we look at some things people went through, Lord, and are people just like us, and they endured certain trials, certain things, certain temptations. And I pray that it would encourage us and speak to our hearts, Lord, that we, because of you, are able to endure those same trials and temptations. So bless this time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm not going to do a long introduction into Daniel because we're not going to do the whole study in the prophetic part or the higher critics who want to pick on Daniel. If you want to do all that, you can get John Walvoord's book and look at all of that going on. But what I want to talk about are three different trials over the next 3 weeks. Tonight we're going to look at the test of what to eat. Next week we'll look at the test of who to worship. And then the next week we'll look at the test of who to trust. So kind of letting you know where we're going and what we're doing. Now, what's going on here to me in this first chapter is absolutely incredible. I don't know about you guys, but I love the book of Daniel, and I love Daniel the person. He's like one of my heroes. You know, I look up to him. When I grow up, I want to be like Daniel, and I want to have what he has. And it all starts when he's a young guy. So let's read the first couple verses here. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. So bottom line, what we're looking at is when Nebuchadnezzar invaded finally Jerusalem, and he took some of the articles, and he took some of the people captive. Now this guy Jehoiakim, he's quite a piece of work, and you can read more about him in 2 Kings 24 or 2 Chronicles 36. You can take those notes, read those for homework. He was a horrible king, horrible. And by this time, Israel as a nation had failed morally, they had failed spiritually, and as we're going to see, they failed as a power. So the Lord handed them over. We need to notice that. And I want you to think about, that's the environment Daniel grew up in. Oh, I think when he was a little guy, there was that great revival during King Josiah when he found the Word of God and opened it up again, and all of that was going on. But I think he's a little bitty guy. I think at this time, Daniel's like 15, 16 years old. And King Nebuchadnezzar comes, takes everything. When he takes the articles from the house of God and puts it in the house of his God, here's what he's saying. I just beat up your God, or my God beat up your God. That's kind of what they're trying to do. Now, you can read the rest of the book of Daniel. That so much didn't happen. But that's what he's saying, and that's what he's doing. And then not only did he take the treasures and the other things, in verse 3 it says, then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish. Now, before we get all the way into 14, I want you to realize Daniel and his friends and others were captured. So let's get this in our minds. Nebuchadnezzar comes in, he overpowers the king, takes the articles from the house of God, but he also takes some of the nobles. Did you read that? Some of the king's family. So here's what that tells us. Daniel was of royal heritage. He was part of that. And they were taken captive. This would have been probably in 605 BC. There were three different deportations, if you will, in Jerusalem under Nebuchadnezzar. There was 605 BC, and then in 597 BC, there was another deportation. That's probably when Ezekiel was taken, if you're familiar with your Bible, your Old Testament. And then in 586 BC is when they sacked Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and took everybody. So there was those three. Daniel was with the first group. So now you're Daniel, 15 years old. Let's say 15 to 20. I don't want to be dogmatic, but I think he's like 15. That's my opinion. And you take this young guy, and now all of a sudden, you went from being part of the royal family to a POW. That's what you are. You're a prisoner of war. You're taken away from your culture. You're taken away from your family. You're taken away from your faith. You're taken away from everything familiar to you, and you're taken several hundred, if not a couple thousand miles away to Babylon. Now, that's pretty incredible, isn't it, when you think about that? I don't know about you guys, but even, you know, even at my young age, getting taken captive like that would be pretty hard. Pretty tough to deal with, wouldn't it? So now you're taken, and now the king is going to distinguish you. And here comes kind of the beginning of the trials. It says again at the end of, or at the beginning of verse 4, you know, at the end of verse 3, he says, and take some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom he might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. So here's what we have going on. The king says you pick out some guys and you make sure, and did you kind of get that description? They had to be without blemish. These guys had to be hunks, okay? That's what he wanted. You get the hunks, you get the good guys. And so these guys were kind of standouts of everybody else. Remember, there's a whole bunch. It's not just Daniel and Mishael and Azariah and Hananiah. It's not just those guys. There was a whole bunch of people taken captive. But it seems like these four are singled out, maybe some others with them, but they're part of the royal family. And now here's their first crisis they hit. Is their crisis kind of in authority? They're part of this group, and the king says, I want you to take these people and you separate them and make sure they're quick to learn, make sure we can educate them, make sure we can, bottom line, change them. That's what's going on. So the king tells Ashpenaz to get these guys out, and here's what he's going to teach them. He's going to start training them in astronomy, astrology, mathematics, natural history, mythology, architecture, agricultural things, and languages. Are you getting this? Is a real in-depth university course for 3 years. That's what these guys are going into. You take them out, you separate them. Now, some of us would be, well, going to school would be fun. As a POW? Against your will? Remember, you can't write home to mom and dad. You have no contact with your family. You have no contact with your culture. You have no contact with anything. And now these guys are pulling you out. By the way, how would you feel at that time about God? Would you feel like he abandoned you? Would you feel like maybe you were serving him and he kind of gave up on you? Would you feel like maybe he doesn't care? Would you feel like maybe he doesn't even know where you are, to be honest? Now look, most of us are sitting here and you're going, Pat, I've read the rest of the book of Daniel. I know how it turns out. So do I, but here's what I know. Right at this point, these guys haven't. That'd be a terrifying time in your life, wouldn't it? And now you have a guy and here's what he's wanting you to do. Think about this. Here's what Nebuchadnezzar is trying to do to you. He wants you to abandon your faith. He wants you to abandon your culture. And he wants you to abandon your identity. That's what he wants to do. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? And he's going to try and do it in 3 years. That's kind of interesting when you think about university, this. What goes on in a person's life at that age, and what are they being taught and trained? I think it's an important thing for parents to kind of pay attention to, but it's even more important for us. What is it that molds and shapes our lives as people? Is it the Word of God, or is it the world? Is it our standard, God's Word, or is our standard the current polls or current studies? You see, they're trying to get these guys and completely change them. So, you know, bottom line, we're going to look at these guys. They're going to have a, you know, they're going to have an identity crisis. Tons of stuff is going on in their minds. So he says, listen, I want you to take them. I want you to find those who we can teach these things. Then verse 5 says, and the king appointed for them daily provision of the king's delicacies of wine in which they drank. I'm sorry, and of wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of the time they might serve before the king. So again, we have this thing, and again, what is it that molds us? Is it media? Is it television? What is the thing that molds us? Because that's what Nebuchadnezzar is taking these guys, and he's trying to reshape them. He's trying to mold them into what he wants. Now, here's an interesting thing. Ashpenaz was the king or the master of the eunuchs. And there is some argument. I happen to believe, studying recently, I'm one who I kind of suspect they made Daniel and these guys eunuchs. Because over and over it says, the master of the eunuchs, the master of the eunuchs, the master of the eunuchs. And we never read of Daniel having a spouse or any of those guys having a spouse. Now, it's interesting because some people go, no way would a Jew let that happen. A Jew would never let that happen. Well, what if a Jew didn't have a saying in what was going on? You know what I'm talking about? You're a POW. You're stuck. You're going to do whatever they do to you. You can't, you don't have a choice. It's going to happen. So, and again, in Isaiah 39, you can read that for homework. Isaiah 39 talks about this way in advance before it ever happened. And it even talks about some of the royal sons being made eunuchs. So maybe that's what's going on. So he wants to, again, reshape everything they are. He wants them to rethink everything they are. Now, for some of us, that wouldn't be so hard. Some of us are discouraged tonight. You're here tonight and you're going, well, yeah, you know, I kinda like Jesus, but I kinda like this too. And we're kinda up in the air, and you know, we're living in the world, and sometimes we're like tilted more towards the world than we are toward Jesus. And for some of us, we're kinda up, you know, well, I'm not sure where I wanna be. Well, Daniel and these guys, man, think about how easy it would be to slide into that if you were wavering like that. Especially if you're 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. Wow. And especially when they said, we handpicked you. It's always cool to be chosen, right? I was one of those guys that on the playground, I never got chose. Now, do you remember when in elementary school when you play kickball and stuff and they'd choose up teams? I'd be the one that'd go, we'll take Pat. It's a drag to be that person, you know what I mean? Yeah, well, we'll take him. And then I got drafted, so that kind of made me feel better. I got a letter from Uncle Sam. He said, I've chosen you to defend. And I go, woohoo, yes, someone wants me. And then I got chosen by God. That was cool. Now, I know that kind of flatters us, right? So now you got this king going, we chose you, you're special. We see something in you. We see potential, and we like what we see. Wow, you're going to go, yeah, I kind of like what I see too, and I'm kind of happy I'm part of this. And then did you notice in verse 5 is when it gets down to the nitty-gritty. In verse 5, let's read that again. In verse 5, here's what he says, and the king appointed for them daily provision of the king's delicacies, and wine of which he drank, and 3 years of training. So here's what he's saying, man. I'm going to give you the best food. You're going to eat off of my table. That's kind of cool, isn't it? I love food. I'm like, I guess I would be considered a foodie. You know, I love food. I love all kinds of food. I love to experiment with food. I eat things that people go, really, you stuck that in your mouth? Sometimes only once, but you know, you find some really good things that way, right? Some of you agree, some of you go, dude, I'm too careful. Why be careful? You know, so listen, I'm reading this, and here's my mind, man. I'm thinking of this like this buffet that has the best of the best of the best, right? You're looking at it going, some of you are getting real hungry right now, aren't you? And you're looking at that thing, and you're going, yes, I'm eating off of the king's table. I'm eating what the king eats. Now, don't tell me that would not be tempting for most of us. So now not only are you chosen, not only are you somebody who's a little better than everybody else by description, now you get this special food, oh, and a a special 3-year, you know, scholarship, all expense paid to go to college. Trouble is, they want to change you, but hey, maybe you would be thinking at this time, well, God abandoned me anyway. I was part of Jerusalem, and that should have never been captured. That shouldn't have happened. So maybe I'll just go along with this new gig. So the king brings them everything. This is the part I love. He brings them everything, and then verse 6 says, now from among those, we're going to kind of get an introduction into who these guys are. From among those are the sons of Judah. I'm sorry, from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they tell us these were some. Now, these weren't all of them, which tells me, here's kind of a drag. It tells me some people went along with everything. We're going to read these guys don't. So you're four guys, and you're going to take a stand. Now, these are their Hebrew names. Then it tells us, verse 7, the chief of the eunuchs gave names to them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar. He gave Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now, most of us know how come whenever we talk about these guys, we call Daniel, but we call the other three by their Babylonian names? Isn't that kind of odd? I think it's a drag that we forget their Hebrew names. Let me kind of explain things. Let me give you their Hebrew name and the meaning, and then that new Babylonian name and the meaning, and you'll kind of get why I think it's a drag. Daniel means God is my judge. Belshazzar means Bel's prince. Oh. Hananiah means Jehovah is gracious. Shadrach means illumined by the sun god. Do you see what's going on here? You see what this king is doing? Mishael means who is what God is. Don't you like that name? I like when I read about what that means, that would be a cool name for a child, wouldn't it? Who is what God is? Meaning you're looking at your child and you're realizing they're going to be someone. Anyway, I just start thinking that way and I think, what an awesome, awesome thing. But anyway, his name means who is what God is. Meshach means who is like Venus, the goddess of lust. Oh. Kind of things changing, huh? Azariah means Jehovah is my help. Abednego means servant of the moon god. So not only is he trying to change all of the other stuff, he's definitely working on their identity, isn't he? How would you like it at 15, 16, 17 years old? You, first of all, you get taken as a POW. Secondly, you get drug away from everything that's familiar to you. Thirdly, you kind of get some good news. Hey, you're special. We want to do something special with you. We want to give you special training. But fourthly, we want to give you a new name. We don't like your name. It'd be kind of a bummer, wouldn't it? There's a lot going on with these young guys. You know, and I read this part, and I frankly have to say, I'm surprised that they don't go, man, this is like too much to absorb. This is a lot to take in. There's a lot going on here. But as we read on, listen, so all of that happened. Then verse 8 is like my favorite verse, maybe in the whole book of Daniel. Listen what it says, especially in the beginning. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacy, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that is one incredible verse, and I think Daniel is one incredible guy. Now, I think a couple things we need to know. I don't think Daniel decided this on the spot. I think Daniel was a young man, my personal opinion, was raised by some real godly parents. Because listen, the culture he came out of was not godly, although it was supposed to be. They were very corrupt. Remember, very corrupt. They were messed up morally. They were really messed up spiritually. So he didn't come out of, because some of us use that for an excuse. Well, I live in America. You know how defiled we are? Oh, check out how defiled Jerusalem was at that time. It was in horrible shape. But his parents, he had to have some godly parents. And he's 15 years old. Come on. I think his parents poured into him. I think his parents made sure that he went to Calvary Kids Church. But the church, remember, the church's responsibility isn't to raise your children. They come alongside and just compliment what we're doing as parents. But listen, man, he had to have stuff. He had to be going to every VBS every year. And somewhere along the way, this young man said this: I'm going to trust God no matter what comes, no matter what happens. I don't care what everything looks like around me. I don't care if I'm taken as a POW. I don't care if I'm drug away from my family, my friends, my country. I'm going to trust God in the midst of those circumstances. That's when the rubber meets the road, right? It's easy to trust God when everything's going good. It's hard to trust God when all of a sudden you're taken away. He purposed, now notice that, he purposed in his heart. Daniel didn't just decide, he purposed within himself, I'm not doing that. Here's what he purposed: I'm going to say no. How many times do we hear, just say no? Do you know how many horrific things we could avoid if we would just say no? If you and I would just take the opportunity we have and say, no, I'm not doing that. But it's kind of hard with peer pressure, isn't it? Come on, all of us live with peer pressure, right? It's hard. Well, everybody else is doing it. Well, everybody else is saying it. Well, everybody else is, whatever, plug it in. He purposed in his heart. I love that. Listen to what Warren Wiersbe says. I love this because bottom line, what we're reading about here is faith. Daniel had faith in God. And listen to what Warren Wiersbe says. He says, it has well been said that faith is not believing in spite of evidence, that's superstition, but obeying in spite of consequences. You see, Daniel is choosing to obey no matter what the consequences are. And it says here about these guys, when they had to choose between God's word and the king's food, they chose the word of God. So here, Daniel purposed in his heart, he's not going to eat that food. Now, I have to be really, 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 really honest. I think I'd eat the food. That sounds like some really good food, doesn't it? Man, if you're someone like me, some people eat to live. I live to eat. And wouldn't it be easy to say this? It's just food. As a matter of fact, later on, doesn't Paul tell us in the New Testament? It's just food. Doesn't matter if it's been offered to idols, it's only food. Now, obviously, we're violating our conscience if we know certain things about it. So here's what this tells me. Daniel knew certain things about this food. And so he goes to this guy, and here's what he says: I can't eat that food. Ooh, that would be so hard. I can't eat that food. Now, a couple things I want us to notice. This guy's got some conviction, doesn't he? Some of us, when we have conviction, we turn into jerks. And the way we approach people about our convictions is ugly. Notice Daniel doesn't do that. He's got some conviction, but he's also got a lot of class along with the conviction. And he's got, the ability to dialogue. So here's what it says at the end of this. It says, therefore, the end of verse 10, he requested. Did you notice that? He requested. He didn't demand. He didn't get all up in the guy's grill and get all angry at him. He requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Here's the way it plays out in my mind. Daniel went to the guy and said, I'm sorry, but I really can't eat that food because it's going to defile who I am. I can't eat it. I think it's according to some of the Levitical laws. I think Daniel knew certain things about it. Maybe some of it was the forbidden food according to Leviticus. He goes, I can't do this. And he requested, I can't do it. And here's what I'm reading. He's going, so now we have a dilemma. What are we going to do, bro? How are we going to fix this? And so, listen, now verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and the goodwill of the chief of eunuchs. Don't you kind of like how, listen carefully, when we step out and trust God, don't you kind of like how then we find out God's already given us favor in that area? But listen, a lot of us miss the favor of God with people because we're afraid to even start anything. We're afraid to even, in a kind, respectful way, to tell somebody, I'm sorry, you're asking me to do something that I just really can't do. I can't violate my conscience and do that. So I'm sorry, can we work something out? Is there something you and I can come to an agreement on so I'm not violating my conscience? And if you do it that way, here's what you're gonna find out. God has already given you favor. And Daniel's like tight. This is what kills me about Daniel. He is tight with the authorities in these passages. And you can read, we're not gonna do chapter 2, but chapter 2 is pretty cool to read. We're gonna do chapter 3, but chapter 4 is even cooler to read. And then chapter 5 is pretty awesome, kind of iffy there. But then chapter 6 we're gonna read. Daniel always had favor with the people in authority. Isn't that interesting? Because a lot of times, because of our witness, we fall out of favor with some people in power. Daniel seemed to always find that favor. Why? God was guiding him and directing him. And again, I think it's the way he approached people. I'd love to hang out with a guy and learn from him. So listen, it says God gave him favor. Then verse 10 says, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age, then you would endanger my head before the king. Now, something to know about King Nebuchadnezzar. He loved to chop up people. And he would kill people he'd just like wake up in the morning in a bad mood and he'd hack you up. So here's what the eunuch guy says. Bro, I'd really like to work with you on this, but you know what? If you show up looking bad, I'm gonna lose my head, my arms, my legs, my toes. Nebuchadnezzar's going to execute me. Now think about this, Christian. Here's a challenge. It goes all through this chapter. This is why I love this chapter. How many of us would try to take the stand, then when the guy came back and said, hey, I'd really like to work with you, but it's just impossible. You know, the king's going to kill me. How many of us would go, I tried, bring the food. Right? Right? Don't we do that? Come on. Am I the only one in here that does that? All of you guys like would resist. I'd go, well, I gave it a good shot, now let's eat. Obviously, God doesn't want me to win, so I'll just eat this food. And if God were on my side, the guy would have understood. But since he's not understanding, I'll just eat the food. What? It's only food, right? It's only food. Do you read this chapter and go, it's only food, dude. It is only food. Isn't that where our real standard comes from, the little things, not the big things. Hey, Christian, you take a stand for little things. When the big things come up in your life, it's a no-brainer. You've already made a decision. But we falter on the little things, we're gonna have a hard time with the big things. Yeah, it's only food. Yeah, it's just like probably some lobster and prime rib rare. Right, all that stuff he shouldn't be eating, and it's only food, and now the eunuch goes, dude, I would love to help you, but man, the king's going to chop my head off. And I kind of like it, especially when you guys look worse than everybody else. So here's Daniel, man. Listen, good. He's gracious. He's like into this. And he goes, okay. So Daniel, verse 11. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Here's Daniel's. Now listen, I love this. Daniel has a plan. Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? If somebody tries to interfere in your life and get you to do something, you got a plan to avoid that? Have you strategized? Have you figured out? Have you already come up with what you're going to do when they say, no, you got to do it? Daniel had a plan. Are you catching what I'm saying? You and I, we need a plan. We live in a pretty messed up culture, don't we? Do you got a plan to resist? Some of us want to resist, but then that guy comes and goes, dude, he's going to chop my head off. You have another plan? You got plan B? You got it all together? Listen, Daniel has already thought this out. Look at Daniel says, it says, listen, when the chief of the eunuchs had said that, Daniel said this in verse 12, please test your servants. Here's what he's saying ultimately. Check this out. Here's what Daniel's really saying. Let's test God. Are you willing to test God? Let's test God. Let's see. Let's see if God is really going to honor his word. Isn't that what Daniel's saying? Because Daniel's going out on a limb. So he goes, test your servants. I love this. Test your servants, he says, and for 10 days and give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Seriously? That's your plan, Daniel? I'm going, I don't like this plan. Now, a couple things we need to realize, and I'm going to make it strong here because I think it needs to be said. Daniel is not promoting becoming vegans. Hey, if you want to be a vegan, that's your business, and that's fine, and that's cool. Eating healthy is a good thing. I get that. That's not what Daniel's promoting here. Number one, go on a strictly vegan diet for 10 days and tell me you're going to change that much. This has nothing to do with being vegans. You know what this has to do with? Trusting God. This whole passage, and it bothers me when people, have you heard, man? Now there's this whole craze, the Daniel diet. It's not the Daniel diet. You know what the Daniel diet is? Trusting God. Trusting God completely with your life. That's the Daniel diet. And listen, Daniel says, let's find out. Let's do this for 10 days and let's see what happens. I'm thinking, dude, you are crazy. And then it says, listen, verse 13, then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacy. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. Are you that convinced that God is going to honor his word that you would do that? That you would put it to somebody else and say, let's see. Let's do this and check it out. And bottom line, here's what you're saying. Let's see if God is faithful. I remember one time when I was involved in missions and we were down in Mexico. We were doing the Jesus movie at the time with the Tarahumara Indians. And we would go way up in the mountains and set up a sheet for a screen and set up a projector and show the tribal people, the indigenous people, the Jesus film. And one night we're getting all ready and, you know, we got everything set up and we just started to film. And it started kind of sprinkling, which is not good for a projector outside and everything outside. And the one Mexican national we worked with, Alfredo, he says this to us, give me the microphone, I want to pray. And us gringos, us, you know, American missionaries, we go, dude, just go pray. You don't have to pray on the microphone. Oh, no, I want them to hear me pray for the rain to stop. We go, no, you don't want to do that, man, because the rain might not stop, and then think of what we'll do. He goes, no, let's just pray, let's pray. Give me the microphone. We go, no, you can't have the microphone. He says, give me the microphone. So we give him the microphone, and Alfredo says, you know, prayed for the Lord to stop the rain. You know what happened? The rain stopped. You know what the Lord said to me? Dude, you have no faith. Yeah. What is Daniel saying? That's all he's saying. Here's what Daniel's doing. He's exercising faith. And he's outside of everything that's comfortable, everything that's good, everything that's right. He's outside of that. And here's what he's saying. I still know my God is in control, and my God is in control of this situation, no matter what it looks like. Hey, I know what it feels to be in situations where it seems like God has forgotten all about you. But he hasn't. Hasn't he promised to always be with us? Hasn't he promised never to forsake us? And here's this like 15-year-old, I'm thinking, dude, you know, you are embarrassing me. It's this 15-year-old kid going, I'm not going to eat that food. I'm not going to eat it. Looks good. But I'm going to eat vegetables. Think about eating vegetables for 3 years. 3 years. It's like making a long commitment, isn't he? This isn't like, I know the 10-day thing, but after the 10 days comes the rest of 3 years. The whole time I read this, I think, dude, that is too long. So let's do it, and let's see. And then he goes, and then you test us. You bring them beside us, and we'll stand beside them, you know, and we'll do a, you know, maybe a bodybuilding kind of exhibit, and we'll see, you know, who looks the best. Don't you love that? And then verse 14, so he consented with them in this matter, and he tested them 10 days. So here's what the eunuch does. Okay, let's check it out. I mean, 10 days isn't really going to hurt one way or another, right? I mean, if they don't look good, if they don't look better, here's what Daniel said. If we don't look better, we'll eat the food. Have you ever tested God to that degree of saying, if I don't and this doesn't happen, bottom line, I'll sin? Because this is what he's saying. I'll eat the food. If we don't look better, I'll eat the food. What's Daniel saying? I know I'm going to look better. Why? Because my God's involved in this. But didn't your God let you get captured? Yeah. Didn't your God drag you away from your home? Yeah. Didn't your God put you in this situation? Yeah. Why do you think your God did that? You know why God did that? So Daniel could be Daniel. Do you know what I'm saying? What an incredible ministry this guy had and, listen, still has to this day because of the revelation that God has given him. But here's what we do. Man, I was so comfortable, and now I'm uncomfortable, and now I don't like you, God, because I had things all together, and I'm not liking where I'm at, and I'm going to eat this stinking lobster. That's what I'm going to do. I don't care what you say. I don't like my situation. Because we get all uptight when our situation isn't where we think it should be, right? Do you think Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, you think these four boys ever thought, I want to go on a trip to Babylon? No way. Where are they? In Babylon. Captives. Captives. You know how they took them to Babylon? Listen, they didn't come and say, here, let me hold your hand and let's walk to Babylon. They chained them together, sometimes with hooks in their noses, and they chained them together. It wasn't just a little jaunt. And now you're there and you're saying, hey, God's going to be on our side. Why? Because God is God. And then check this out, verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Can you imagine? I just like think of this and I just think of the shock on everybody's face. These dudes have been eating vegetables. These guys have been on a high protein diet. And these guys have been eating vegetables and water. And they show up and they look 10 times better. You go on a diet for 10 days. I don't care any diet and tell me in 10 days you're going to look 10 times better. Most of us, we do diets, right? After 10 days, what do we say after 10 days? It's not working. Right? Yeah. Here's what they go. They look 10 times better than anybody else. Who did that? Not the Daniel diet. You get my point? Who did that? God. God did that in their lives. And could you imagine? Listen, I don't know about you, but I think as I walked out and we all posed, you know, and, you know, we're looking better than everybody else, I would be, man, what would that do to your spirit? Oh, my God is so awesome. I know that I'm a captive. I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be. But do you know what my God did? Do you know what my God? Look at those guys. They look like a bunch of wimps. Look at us. Look what God did. And all of a sudden, you get excited about God, don't you? And what did it take to get there? Two letters. No. No. I'm not doing that. Wow. I love this. So look, then they look better, and then like everybody's stoked. Verse 16, then the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink, and he gave them vegetables for 3 years. They got vegetables for 3 years. I want you to write that in your margin. Vegetables and water for 3 years. Wow. And then it says, verse 17, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. These guys were obviously, I think, good students. But who gave them the wisdom and understanding? God. You know, sometimes we make the mistake where we do something, we accomplish whatever it is in life. And we get to the other side of it and we go, woohoo, look what I did. And we need to say, look what God did through me. I can't believe I got to be part of that. Are you amazed? Do you get up in the morning and look in the mirror and go, I can't believe, number one, I can't believe that I got saved. I look in the mirror every day. I tell God, I can't believe you saved me. Now, maybe some of you like have really good lives and you go, well, I would save me if I were me. It's like, why wouldn't I? I know my life. I know what I did. And I look in the mirror every day and I thank God that he saved me. And I know what it took to save me. And then I look in the mirrors, I'm looking there and I'm going, and I can't believe that I get to do what I get to do. I'm so, so blessed to be able to read and study the word and be able to teach the word. I like what someone once said about Calvary Chapel pastors. They say the only reason God made us pastors is because that's the only way he could get us to read our Bibles every day, which might be true. But I am so blessed that I get to do. You know, sometimes you talk to people and you go, well, like I like to play golf. You know, and sometimes people go, bad day on the golf course is better than any day at work. Well, I like to play golf, but I would never say that because I don't consider what I do work. It's a joy. Does it ever get ugly and nasty and messed up? Of course it does. It's life. But don't you understand what Daniel and them are doing? They're looking at their lives and they're going, look where we're at. We're learning quicker. We're at the top of our class. Valedictorians. I don't understand those people. I was having dinner with some people from our church, and both their daughters were valedictorians. They're like brainiacs, and you know. And I'm talking to them, and I go, I don't get you. And they go, what don't you get? And I go, I don't get how you function. How do you do that? You know, in school, I just barely got, I thought high school was a social event. That's what I thought it was for. I thought that's where everybody gathered together. Hey, if everybody would have ditched, then I would have never gone. But they all go to school, all these kids going to school. So I had to go to school to hang out with people, and that's what I thought it was for. And then, man, these brainiacs, and sometimes we take that for granted, don't we? Some of us are those people. You're going, I love school, man. I love studying. I do now, but I didn't then. But listen, if God has given you that kind of intellect, can't you give him the glory? Can't you give him the honor? Quit thinking it's all you. And it's him. Do you notice what they say? God gave them wisdom. God gave them understanding. God gave Daniel. Daniel never went around going, Daniel, dream interpreter. Here's my card. Although he could do it. But he knew that it was God in him. So listen, it says that Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Verse 18, now at the end of the days, meaning the 3 years, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. Here's what they went. They went from being POWs to being picked for something to now they're in the king's court. They're part of what's going on. The part of that decision-making process, we're not going to learn, but you can learn by reading, you know, 2, don't read 3, and then read 4 and 5, and you find out where they're at, because 3 is a mystery we got to study. But listen, they're part of that. How did they get in the king's court? Listen carefully, by saying no. I'm going to bring that up over and over. They said no to the food. It's just food. Did God say not to eat it? Yes. So what did they say? No. Now listen, I'm not picking on food and telling us, and I don't want to get all legalistic and, you know, do things because I eat, as I said, I eat weird things. But listen, God has definitely given us in our generation a moral standard. And it's up to you and I to say no. Listen, it's not up to you and I to make everybody else moral. God has never called us to do that. Do you understand that? We're not to go out and make the world moral. We're to go out and show the world what morality looks like. We're to go out and be examples to the world and let them look at us and go, how come you're 10 times better than I am? Because I'm moral and you're not. That's why. There's nothing wrong with telling people that. Once again, when we worked with the Tarahumaras, you know what they would do? They would use like 1/3 of their corn crop to make beer. They'd make this corned beer, and they would use one-third. So imagine this. That's their living. That's who they are. Can you imagine taking one-third of your salary and using it for alcohol? Wow, that's pretty incredible, isn't it? Some of you are going, no, not too bad. But think about it. And then here's what would happen. Those people would get saved, and they would quit making the corned beer. Now, you know what happened to them? Instantly, they become one-third wealthier than all their other neighbors. Why? They're not using that for corned beer anymore. Now they got all that, and here's what their neighbors would say. How come you have so much corn left? Because I'm not a drunkard like you. I'm not doing that anymore. That's why. You see, we try and legislate things. Why don't we just be an example to the world? And you and I just say no. Just say no. And say no when you need to say no. And then even at times test God. Go, God, every part of my being, every fiber in my being wants to do this. But I know it violates your word. So I'm going to say no. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to tell people I'm saying no to that. And I'm making a choice. So listen, now they're part of the king's court. And then it tells us, this is wrap up the chapter. It says in verse 20 and 21, it says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better. 10 times. Not just a little bit better. 10 times. Like these guys were the valedictorians of the valedictorians of the valedictorians. These guys were it, man. They were on the top. Listen, they were 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. Now, we read that and we go, whoo, what about what? Magicians? Listen, this is just talking about people who served in those areas. It's not talking about magicians, meaning like magicians today who are illusionists. They're talking about people in that day who were trained in certain crafts to do certain things. And Daniel and them were better than everybody because they got trained in all that. Remember what I told you they got trained in? They got trained in all that stuff. And you know what happened? You call Daniel, you call Mishael, you call Azariah, you call Hananiah. Hey, can you come and do this? Man, that's a piece of cake. How come you guys are so good at it? Because of God. You see, we have a great God. So here's my question to us tonight. How big is your God? Seriously, how big is he? Is he big enough to take care of you when your world falls apart? When you get news that you never expected to get? When you hear those words that maybe you always dreaded to hear and all of a sudden they're ringing in your ear, how big is your God? Is he big enough? Is he big enough? Mine is. Because I remind myself every day of who I am and who he is. And you see this 15-year-old who's now about 18 years old, this group of guys, you know who they are? They're us. They're nobody special. Listen, they're not super saints. They're us. And they're a group of people who said, I'm going to trust God in spite of my circumstances, in spite of consequences, in spite of everything that's going on. I'm going to put all my faith in him. And you know what? I'm even going to put him on the line a little bit. How cool is that? I think it's kind of cool. I think it's fun. I kind of like that, you know, living on the edge and challenging God a little bit. Not in the gross way of like, God, let's throw down, but in the way of, you know, Lord, I'm really going to test you. You see, again, in my life, I know things about me that nobody knows. And I know things he's accomplished with me that would blow your mind. If I told you some of this stuff about me, you would go, seriously? People who grew up with me, you go to Bisbee. No, I'm saying that seriously. Some of you are going, dude, but go to Bisbee. Hey, go to the courthouse. Go to places and say, do you know Pat Lasovich? He grew up in Bisbee. Do you know him? And then say, we really like the way he teaches the word of God. Do you know what you're going to hear first? Snickers. They're going to be laughing. And then they're going to go, really? Really? Him? We have people from our church go to Bisbee, do business, and they'll say, we go to Pat's church. And they go, why? Because they don't know me, They know the old me. And you see, isn't that what this is all about? Being changed moment by moment. So let's, come on, guys. Let's go out and be Daniel and Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael. And you know what? Somebody sticks a big old nasty lobster in your face, say, no, I'm not eating. No, that's not what it's about. Somebody sticks that temptation in your face, here's what I want you to do. No, I don't do that. I made a decision Wednesday night, July 31st. Is this the 31st or 30th, whatever day it is? 30th, thank you. 31st? I don't know days of months. I don't even know days of the week. I just go where people tell me to go. I made a decision that night. I made a moral decision that I'm going to trust God no matter what comes my way. Let's do that, huh? Let's stand up and pray. Father, tonight we do thank you, Lord. We thank you for the challenge as we see these three guys or four guys, Lord, and we see their lives. And God, it's kind of intense. And Lord, I know for myself, there are so many times where I cave in and I go, it's just a little thing. It's only food. And we're going to see as we look through this little series, it goes from food to worship to trust. It's not just about the physical. It's about the spiritual. So I pray tonight along with me that all of us standing here, we would make that conscious decision, Lord, to trust you, that we could put a stamp on tonight and we could say, that night I decided I'm going to trust my God in spite of anything else. So God, here's what I know all of us need. We need a great big God. We don't need a ton of faith. We just need a big God. So reveal yourself to us and guide us and direct us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you, guys.